And I told Travis, I was like, I'm going to have a Jersey girl one day. Like, I want a Jersey cow. And this was back when we lived in the city. Like, it wasn't even a possibility, but it was there in my heart. And so I feel like that should be, I want that to be like your first encouraging tidbit, is even if you right now do not see the possibility of this desire in your heart, you don't see how it can play out in real life. I do not believe that God gives us desires to taunt us or to play with us or to, you know, give us this emotional whiplash. I believe he places the desires on our heart for a reason, and that we have to step out in faith and go, okay, God, like, I see this, I want this. And even if this isn't something that I can have now, I'm going to pray in faith that if you have placed this on my heart and it is something important to me, that it will happen.
Hi there, friend. Welcome to the Homestead Journey Podcast. I'm Erin, and I'm absolutely thrilled that you are here. This isn't just any homesteading podcast. It's a journey we're taking together. Join me as I, along with my family and guests, share stories, educate, and lean into encouraging you in the art of homesteading. Each episode, we'll dive into the nitty-gritty of life on the farm, sharing tips, tricks, and tales to inspire and equip you on your own homesteading journey. And remember, no matter where you are on this path, you are not alone. I'm so glad you're here.
Hey, friend, and welcome to the podcast today. I don't even know where to start. Like, there is so much fun stuff I have to talk to you about. So much that's been going on lately in the farm lately. I know I've been doing a lot of interviews with amazing people. The people I've got to speak to the last month have been so informative and so encouraging and just a wealth of information. But we have a lot of stuff going on the farm too. And I want this to be like a having guests sometimes, yes, but then also just being able to chat with you one-on-one, kind of like friends, talking over a cup of coffee or just sharing experiences with each other. First of all, I got to give a shout out to Alpine Farm. So if you guys are watching on YouTube, it's called, this sweatshirt I'm wearing is adorable. It says Farms Over Pharma, which is just so me. And my medicinal garden that we have going in, and the kitchen garden, and all the things we're doing around here. They sent me this. They sent me a t-shirt. You guys need to check them out on Instagram. I'll actually link them in this podcast. They do stuff on their farm. They do classes. They have so much information and just wisdom in the homesteading area. I'm sorry if you hear the guineas out there. So you guys, one of the fun things I wanted to share this week was that we finally got our Jersey girl. We got our Jersey cow. She is outside, and it still is like pinch me surreal that after so many years of waiting and hoping and dreaming that that girl is sitting outside right now. And it's so wild. So that was one of the things I wanted to come on today and just kind of talk about how we got our cow, the process it took, the years of praying, of waiting, of patience, of research to get to this point where we now have this cow. I want to share if she is in milk right now, if she's pregnant, like all the things I want to chat with you. I know I shared her over on Instagram, but I don't find Instagram conducive for just like long form content because it's not. And there's just so much that I feel is necessary to share. I know that when I was researching getting a dairy cow, I would just soak up all the information that anyone had to share on their experience doing this and any kind of wisdom that they gleaned along the way. And so I want to be that person for you today. Do I have it all figured out? Absolutely not. I have literally had her for less than a day. Yesterday, we didn't even get her to the farm until almost 7 o'clock at night. So it was a journey, you guys. But we're going to talk about all of that. But before we do, I want to share that this podcast is sponsored by Roots and Harvest, which is a family-owned company that celebrates and supports homemade, homegrown living. And I know that they are doing a series with me right now about meat chickens and meat birds and doing all that, but they are so much more than that. Based in Ohio and staffed by DIY enthusiasts, Roots and Harvest offers traditional supplies, hard-to-find items for every corner of your homestead, from preparing and preserving foods to making bread and cheese to raising backyard poultry. You can find all the inspiration, all the advice, everything you need to know at rootsandharvest.com. And they actually have a coupon code right now, which is FS for free shipping. So Roots and Harvest 15 free shipping. And I'll put that code and the link and everything in the bottom of this podcast as well. So you guys have information to that, or however you're finding this. And so that will be there for you. But I know that we've been talking about poultry with them. And so I've been sharing that they have some great products for harvesting your meat birds. But not only do they have that, but they have so many amazing products for if you do have a dairy cow, a dairy goat, or just purchasing raw milk from someone and you want to make yogurt. They have strainers, they have yogurt makers, they have cheese presses, they have butter paddles, like they have everything. And so that's what I love about Roots and Harvest and just partnering with them is because anyone on the homestead is going to at some point in time need products that this company offers, and they offer good products. They offer products that are made well, that they stand behind. And so if you're doing this, you're going to have to purchase some of these products at some point in time. And so why not purchase from someone who is advocating for you, is out there actively showing you and encouraging you as a homesteader, offering tutorials, walking through the partnership with me on the meat birds. So they're not only just selling products, they're helping you by showing you and teaching how to do some of these things that we all are in here to learn. Like, we are all homesteaders or continual learners, and they're partnering in that process. And so definitely check them out, you guys. But yeah, so our dairy cow journey has been, you know, it's so funny because I, and maybe it's because I have been wanting a dairy cow for several years now. And so I see it so often, but I feel like it has been definitely more popular the past 5 to 7 years that people are getting dairy cows for their farm, that the stigma of raw milk is kind of losing its grasp on the population. Like, I know there is still a lot of people who are not okay with raw milk. And that's a journey that they have to take. My family has been drinking raw milk for 2+ years now. And we have enjoyed it. I'm in with so many other people who drink raw milk. And so it has just been a really great community where we have all reaped the benefits and rewards of having raw milk in our home, our homes. And so, you know, before you do anything like purchase a cow, which is a huge commitment, and some people can't do that, and that's totally fine. But before doing that, I actively purchase milk to make sure it was something that my family enjoyed. It was something that I could work with. It was something that I enjoyed doing for my family. Just because it's popular in the homestead movement, whatever it may be, does not mean it's fit for your family. That's the beauty of homesteading and farming and gardening and everything else, is you get to plant and harvest and grow and raise up what is most beneficial for your family, which just makes it all so beautiful, because as families, we're all so different. And so I think it's amazing to go walk other people's farms and just get inspiration and to see what they're doing, even if it might not be something that benefits us. Maybe it will be. There's always pieces I take from someone's farm and from someone's story that I feel like we can apply into our own lives. But so the dairy cow, although it has been popular for a while, before it was even popular, I have always wanted a Jersey girl. I used to work at a vet clinic years ago. It was one of my first jobs, and I enjoyed it so much. I was there for 7+ years at that vet clinic. I worked with large animals, small animal. I worked in surgery so many years ago now. Don't ask me any kind of medical questions. I have like the basic concept and knowledge, but besides that, not so much. But I just remember we had several dairy farms in the area, and the vets would service them. And I just was always thought it was so amazing and beautiful, and that the jerseys were amazing and beautiful, and the milk that they were giving. And cows are one of those animals that they have to be happy to produce milk. You can't be like, especially like even if you're a mother, you know this, you can't be stressed, you can't be anxious. Like, your milk supply will drop if you are in times of stress. And so these animals, you can't really manipulate them too much. Like, they have to be happy to give you milk. And so I find that beautiful. It's a partnership that you have to have with these animals. There are so many other ways, especially with meat animals and stuff, that you can manipulate the environments and do things that are unethical, I believe, to produce a result. But dairy cows aren't really that way. Now, after they are milked and the milk leaves the farm and is pasteurized and all those things, yes, I take some issue with that. But the cow itself and the initial process before they take the milk and kill everything and put it in the store and it's completely, you know, there's no nutrients in it and it's dead. Before they do all that, it's beautiful. And so I just always loved jerseys. I always loved dairy. And when I had my kids, I was always leery of just the store-bought milk. I was. And with Evelyn, I had to supplement her. I had a hormonal amount, some issues. Looking back now, I wish I had sought out better advice, but at that point in time, I didn't know. And so I stopped nursing her when she was a few months old. But I didn't just go get formula from the store. To me, that was not something that I wanted to do. I actually purchased a specific kind of organic formula that was more expensive, kind of harder to find, but it was what I felt was needed for my daughter's health. And then we transitioned them to goat milk after that point in time, because I was doing a lot of research on different kinds of milk, and the goat milk worked really well for young kids. And so after they kind of grew up a few years old, I really transitioned out of most milk in general, because I didn't feel like what I got at the store was ideal. I couldn't find anyone. I got so much just like sass from people when I was trying to search for raw milk. It is not the same as nowadays. Like, yes, you still get sass, but back then it was like I was an evil person that wanted to feed my family raw milk, and it was very heavily criticized. And so I was just like, well, fine, if I can't get this raw milk, I'm just not going to feed them milk, because I don't feel like the store milk is doing anything for them. And why would I spend money on this when I don't believe in the product? And so we just weren't a huge milk family for several years. And honestly, like, we could go into so many different things, but I feel like my children's health partially benefited from the fact that we weren't drinking the processed store-bought milk. And, you know, to each their own, right? Like, that, again, beauty of homesteading, beauty of America, is we can decide what we want to do for our families. And you don't always have to agree with someone in how they're doing that. And that's okay. And so, but as they got older, I saw the raw milk movement. Like, I felt it kind of like gaining ground, and I got really, really excited. And this was back when we lived in the city. Like, it wasn't even a possibility, but it was there in my heart. And so I feel like that should be, I want that to be like your first encouraging tidbit, is even if you right now do not see the possibility of this desire in your heart, you don't see how it can play out in real life. I do not believe that God gives us desires to taunt us or to play with us or to, you know, give us this emotional whiplash. I believe he places the desires on our heart for a reason, and that we have to step out in faith and go, okay, God, like, I see this, I want this. And even if this isn't something that I can have now, I'm going to pray in faith that if you have placed this on my heart and it is something important to me, that it will happen. And so I kind of want to title this episode, Finding Joy in the Waiting, because if we always get things right when we want them, I just feel like the appreciation is not there. And there is so much to learn in the waiting for something. And so we waited for years. Like, we moved to our secondary house, Pine Glen, and we thought we were going to be there forever. Like, we moved there, life was great. We lived just below a bunch of farms, and I was like, you know what? I'll be content here. Like, we're close to farmland, we're close to these things. I have a big backyard. If this is where God has planted us for the foreseeable future, like, this will be fine. Like, I will make it work. And so I gardened there, we did all the things, and it was beautiful. But about 2 years in, I've shared this story before, in previous episodes, but about 2 years in, I just felt this calling that we needed to leave, and not just leave that house, like move, but like move state. Because at that point in time, we were in Washington. And so it was 2 years after that point of prayer of convincing my husband, but I guess waiting for the Spirit to move in him that we should move. And so again, there was that waiting period of, maybe my husband isn't going to be on board with this, maybe this won't happen, but I feel this desire, and so I'm going to pursue it because I feel like I'm supposed to. And whatever God has in that will show itself. Like, it will be manifested if that is what God really truly wants. And so 2 years later, here we are in Tennessee. And that, again, like a story for another time, but we moved here and I was just so excited. And I was like, okay, we get to have a milk cow. Like, I'm so excited because I had gotten some raw milk and stuff over in Washington, but it wasn't anything consistent. It wasn't anything that was like, I had a weekly schedule of I'm going to go pick it up or anything like that. And so we got here and we quickly realized that the house was going to take a lot more financially of us than we had anticipated. And the land was so mismanaged and filthy, and there was no fencing, and there was no structures, and there was no nothing. And so we put up the structure of the chicken coop. We had to fix the foundation of the house. We had to install heating and air conditioning and all the ductwork, like all these things. And very quickly, it was apparent that to push the cow on our family at that time would be a burden, not a blessing. It would be something that would be too soon. It would be forced, and it would cause us to be frustrated, to stumble, probably to fight, like as a marriage. If I pressed this and Travis agreed to it, it would feel like a burden on him, and it would be a burden on him. And so it was just too much. And we knew that. And so as much as that hurt my heart, because like, that was one of the first things I wanted checked off my list. I said, okay, let's find someone here that I can support that does raw dairy, and I can bless them with financially, and they can bless my family with this beautiful milk. And so we found a milk farm. We ended up going through actually three. The first people moved. The second people stopped doing it besides just for their family. The third people was, it was actually a beautiful raw dairy farm, but it was over an hour trip back and forth to get the milk. And it's just so much. And so, but we did it. We did it because that was what I felt was important for our family. I made yogurt. I made kefir. I got about 2 gallons a week. So it still getting, but it wasn't enough to do all the cool things like butter and ice cream, like all that kind of stuff, because it's 2 gallons a week, along with the kids just actively drinking it as is, and then using it for the yogurt and the kefir and stuff like it. We went through it very fast. So it wasn't something that I could do more with. But I feel like it was a really good learning ground for me, because I was able to try these different things. I was able to go, okay, like I can easily handle 2 gallons. How much more could I do, you know, with more milk? And so, and in that time too, I found there's the Family Milk Cow website. There's the Family Milk Cow Market, not website, excuse me, they're Facebook groups, Family Milk Cow Market group. And there's all these groups online that are just such with Facebook. Obviously, there's give and take, and there's drama on there. There's always going to be drama in any kind of social media form where you have people actively being able to just say what they want to say, right? But these groups were so informative because there were so many experienced people raising different kinds of dairy cows, Holstein, Swiss, Jersey, like just the whole gamut of all the dairy cows. And I would just at night, like before bed or when I had a quiet moment, I would just get in these groups and I would just read and I would just scan and I'd look at the cows for sale. And it was kind of the same concept as when we purchased this house. Like even when I wasn't sure if we were going to get this house and move to Tennessee, I was actively looking. And by looking so much, I had a really good like feel for this is a good price. This isn't a good price. I don't like this because of this area, or I don't like this because this property doesn't have a well. And so it's one of those things where you develop this checklist, even if subconsciously, I guess you do that. And so as I scanned these things, I was able to go, okay, like this is a great deal. This isn't a great deal. I would want this or I wouldn't want this in a cow. And seeing what age range is best and just kind of listening to people's stories and just gaining knowledge on after they calf this problem and this problem. So it was just like, it's like Cowzillow. and that was a really good time for me to be able to do that. I also, I should have brought it over here. I have the Family Milk Cow book, which I have highlighted all over. I have read through, like the pages are crinkled in some spots, but it's another thing where I'm just like, if God has not given me it now, then I'm going to, in the waiting, gain knowledge. And so gaining knowledge and anticipation in the waiting is so important, because there is so much you can do in the waiting. Waiting is not a twiddle your thumbs and feel sad for yourself. Like, yes, there was days when I did that too, but it was mostly like, what can I do today that my future cow will thank me for, that I have spent the time to gain this knowledge and this understanding so that I can be good to her, that I can be a good steward of when God chooses to bless me with this animal. I want to go in this with the knowledge that yes, like you, there's some things that you can't have knowledge of until you have that animal, until you experience that. But you know, what's amazing too, is when we first moved here, we were alone. We didn't know anyone. And right before we got our cow, we started going to this new church, and I've met a really good friend there, and they have a cattle farm, and they do beef cows, but they know everyone. They know this person who does this AI, and they know this person who does jerseys and specializes in this, and they know how to build this fence, and this works better. And like being able to, and then I met a lady down the road who has a Jersey cow, and so I can get milk from her now, and she's literally 5 minutes away. And we were talking about when I went to her house and met her for the first time, she was like, I prayed for a neighbor who would have a dairy cow so we could help each other out. Like there's all these pieces, even just sitting here and saying this to you now, like things that I didn't put together, I am now seeing that like God wove this beautiful blanket, this beautiful story together of before we got our cow, he prepared us with knowledge, with people, with wisdom from all these different areas so that we can manage her well. And so we were doing all this research. And another thing too is just my husband and I, we want to be financially responsible people. And so especially with farming, like I was listening to a YouTube video the other day by Joel Salatin, and he said, don't go into farming in debt. He said, make sure you're out of debt when you go into farming. And it just makes so much sense because 2 years into our farm, if we had debt, I mean, like our house is not completely paid for, and we do have a tractor, which we have a payment on, but like credit card, that kind of stuff, it's just, it's too, it would be too much. And so to be able to say, to be able to have the freedom of your, of not having the burden of all these things, and if something happens and you have to go into debt, or you are in debt and you have all these animals to feed, or someone gets sick or you have to call the vet, like you need to have everything clear and ready when you go into homesteading. And that might take a few years for you to gain that, but I am telling you, your future self will thank you when you can buy a piece of property and you can have some cash set aside to be able to do these things and not feel the burden of the bank over your head and the interest rates and all of that stuff on top of what is already, farming is beautiful, but it is stressful. There are animals that rely on you for their lives, and to add the commotion of financial instability on top of that is just a lot. And so we knew we wanted to pay cash for our girl. We knew we didn't want to go into debt for her. We knew that we had to spend a significant amount of money on fencing. We didn't have any fencing here, and I didn't want some janky weird fencing because we're eventually going to have some horses and some different things here. Evelyn wants to ride. I grew up riding horses, and we just wanted an all-purpose fence, and no matter what we did, we knew that they'd be safe in there. And so we're doing a 5-string tinsel, which we can go into that later, and I can talk about that as we're actually building the fence next week. But again, fencing, it's several thousands of dollars, depending on how big of an area you want to fence off, if you're going to do it well and you don't want to be able to constantly worry that your animal's getting out. And so this is an investment. This cow, we're not going to see a financial like ramifications of like profit from her for years and years, but the investment of, we can say, but she's paid for outright. Like her pasture is paid for outright. Like we can pay monthly for her and not have the burden of debt that would taint the joy of having her. Like it would just dim the happiness of being able to say she's fully ours. And there's beauty in that. There is beauty in waiting, which, you know, even the me from just a few years ago would be like, beautiful. No, it's not. It's frustrating. But to be on this side of it and to say like, to know that I have put me and my husband, our family, we have put in the time, we have put in the effort, we have put in the finances to be able to get to this position where we feel like we have earned her. It is not something we just went out and did flippantly and on a whim, hoping that would work out. We put in the time, the effort, and the work to get her so that we can appreciate her to her fullest and tend her well. And so when we were looking for her, there's so many horror stories, which when you're in a Facebook group, again, like a lot of people don't share the highlights of how amazing everything worked out. They share the lows because usually you're looking for advice. And when things are going great, you're not going to be as active online or sharing this kind of stuff because things are good. We complain when things are bad. We're usually louder when things aren't going well. But I just saw so many people getting taken as far as like the cow was bred. The cow was actually not bred. The cow was A2A2. We actually did test and the cow wasn't A2A2. The cow died of mastitis or milk fever soon after she calved. Like, and yes, you can have a perfect situation with a beautiful cow and it can still die on you. Like that's the journey that you take with an animal. And when you decide to have an animal, is they at some point in time will die. And it's usually not how you want or intended, which is so frustrating, but it is just simply a fact of homesteading. But if I can mitigate some of that, and if I can do my research and get a cow that I know comes from good stock, comes from a good family, is tended well, the probability of having issues with her lessens. And so when I was searching in all these different places, I probably could have bought a cow on Facebook Marketplace and just rolled up to someone's house and hoped everything was great. And it might have worked out. And you know what? Later on, as I acquire and gain experience by having a cow, I might be able to gauge better if it's a good dealer, if it's a decent risk. But because I am so new to owning a dairy cow, I felt it unwise to take that chance. And I felt that it was better to spend a little bit more money to buy a cow that was a very good quality from a very good producer or a very good farm or steward or farm from a very good reputable farm to be able to get this animal. And so we found Hilltop Jerseys, and they're in Missouri. They're about 5 hours from us. And I kept seeing them pop up throughout these groups, and they would post cows every now and again, but they were always a little bit out of budget. And they were 5 hours away. Excuse me. So it was just one of those things to where I don't know if we can do that. But then as I was just in the groups more, and I was talking to Travis, and we're like, you know what, we have waited for her so long that let's make sure that when we actually get her, we get a quality herd. We get a herd that we know has been taken care of, and that we're not going to get our hearts broke over if something bad was to happen. Again, it could happen with the girl we have out there, but it's a less likelihood because. And so we researched the reviews. Everyone was just shining from the rooftops how good quality cows they were, how easy the births were, how theirs. They didn't have issues with milk fever. They didn't have issues with mastitis. And I will link below to an interview that I did with Mindy, who owns a raw dairy farm. And she was just talking about conditioning of cows and how that makes a big difference. And that most homestead cows are overweight because us as homesteaders we don't understand how a dairy cow is supposed to look. And dairy cows do look a little gaunt, but that's actually that is their genetic makeup. And if you try to alter that by putting weight on them that they should not have, they have a lot more issues with milk fever, with mastitis, with stuff, because they're holding on to weight that they shouldn't have. And so it burdens their system. And so that was a really, really great interview. If you guys want to listen to that, I will make sure to link it. I messaged the lady who owned Hilltop, and I was like, you know what? I said, here's the deal. And she had beautiful girls listed online, but she's like, if you have any questions, you know, text us. And she gave her number. And so I just I just put it all out. I was like, you know what? I want a really good milker. She has to be A2A2 because my husband does have dairy sensitivities. She has to be a hand milker because I don't want to machine milk. That's just not, maybe later on, you know, I'm never putting anything out, but as of right now, I just want to hand milk. And I want my kids to learn how to milk her as well. And so she needs to be family friendly. You know, do you have anything? This is my budget. Is there anything? Am I just being silly, or is there anything that you have that would meet this kind of criteria? And she sent me some cows. And so how it worked out is when the cows freshen, so after they have their calves and they are in milk, that is generally when Hilltop Jersey sells their cows. That's generally when farms like hers sell their cows. And at that point in time, excuse me, I should have brought a water over here. It's basically a guarantee as far as they're in milk. They have just calved, and they usually wait 2 months, and then they AI them, or they put them with a bull so that you have a milk cow that's in milk, that's pregnant with her next baby. So it's like the whole shebang. You have milk. She's already bred. You don't have to worry for the next 2 years. You know you're going to be in milk because she just calved. She's already pregnant. That's a guarantee of 2 years of milk, which is amazing. And which is a very, I've heard a lot of people have frustrations with breeding their cows once they calve. There's a lot of reasons behind that, I think, that a lot of inexperienced people aren't aware of. And I'm not saying I'm an expert, but I have been researching this for a long time. And I just, and so anyhow, and so that's what most people look for. And she was like, if you want, she was like, my dry girls are less expensive because they are not in milk right now. She's like, they're pregnant, but they're not in milk right now. Because they're going to calve soon, and how they work their pasture, they, once they get pregnant, they dry them off, and just let them be until they're come into milk, and then they sell them, and it, the whole shebang. I'm probably not saying it correctly, but anyhow, you get the point. And so she's like, let me go to my dry pasture right now with my girls, and I'll send you a few pictures of some. She's like, the nice thing too with a dry girl who's pregnant, she was like, is you can get her home. They travel better when they're not in milk. They travel better when they're not late in their pregnancy. It's actually not ideal to trailer a cow that's within the last 10% of her pregnancy. So the last 30 to 60 days, it's generally better to have her settled. Again, the stress on a pregnancy, you could cause a cow to do a abortion on accident. Like, there's just so many different things that could go into stressing a cow towards the end term of their pregnancy. And so she's like, if you get her dry, you get her home, you get her before she has the baby, you guys can get to know each other. You can get to know her behavior. You can get to know how she typically acts so that when the time comes for her to have a baby, you are more knowledgeable about this relationship with the cow, and you can watch her better for signs. And it's just less expensive because they're not in milk. She was like, but this, so she sent me the pictures, and she sent me this cow, which was called Bloom. And I saw her and I just knew, like, I just knew it. I was like, this is my cow. And she is just turned 4 years old. So she calved the first time, great calf. She calved again the second time, but it was in last winter, and they have them sometimes with live cows and sometimes they have them AI. And so they're not always sure when they're going to drop a calf. And the owner was actually pregnant at the same time and just given birth. And so some things slipped through the cracks. And anyhow, she had her cow in the winter, her calf in the winter time, and no one caught it soon enough. And so the calf died, which is, it's a sad story. It happens. It happens. If you're going to be farming, tragedy happens and it's sad, but you can't always, you know, you can't mitigate all sadness and just loss on a farm. And so they didn't even realize she had calved until about 2 weeks after, and they realized she dropped her calf. We didn't catch it. And so they just dried her off and then threw her back in with a bull a little while later and rebred her. And so they palpated her before we came just to confirm her pregnancy. Now, while we initially thought she was pregnant in June, when they palpated her, they said, you know, we're not the best at being able to tell age by palpating. They said, we're very new to AI, we're very new to palpating. And they're like, we know she's pregnant, but we're thinking she's not as far along as we initially thought. We're thinking she's probably due more in October. And part of me was like, oh, dang, I really wanted a June baby, and I didn't want to wait that long for milk. But then the other part of me was like, you know what? This is a blessing because we're still working on our enclosure. We're still working on things. And this gives us some breathing room to be like, okay, she's normally out in pasture. She normally does not have shelter. She's just with the other cows. So she's not even used to a shed. So right now we can put her in our newly fenced area. We can work on our, like, our lean-to, which is going to be like a glorified lean-to. It's going to have a room in there for grains and everything. It's going to have a milk stand. It's going to have a spot for her to give birth. So it's like a mini bar, three-sided barn, essentially. But we're going to do all that. We'll have all that ready. That gives us some breathing room to get this done, to get her here, to get to know her before she calves. Now, the only thing with that is that cows are herd animals. They don't like to be alone. And I have seen people who have had milk cows alone for years, and it, you know, to each their own, I guess, but I don't feel like it's right to do that. They're herd animals. They work best. They feel best. They feel safest with other cows. And so, you know, initially I was like, June. Well, right now is almost the end of April, May, June. So she wouldn't be alone for that long. And this would give me some one-on-one time with her before she had the baby. And so, like, this is going to be perfect. And so to learn that she wasn't really due till October, that's like 6 months of her being solo. And that hurts my heart. That wasn't really what I wanted for her. So I talked to the lady, and I was like, you know, is she going to be okay? Is she going to be stressed? Like, what should we do in the situation? And she was like, just watch her. She was like, if she shows signs of stress or she's just constantly agitated and you can tell, she was like, the best thing to do is to get like a bottle baby or a weaned young calf to put with her, like a meat cow that you could grow out. And then once she has her own cow, you could harvest that cow for your meat. And then at that point in time, she'd be with calf forever. Because if she has, if she throws a heifer, we will keep it. And if she throws a bull calf, we will band him, keep him, and grow him out until she calves again. And we'll just keep doing that and then using that as our butcher beef until she throws another heifer. And then we'll keep two heifers and we'll have those just kind of for rotation and to be best buds, because I don't, you know, come October, I don't want her to ever be solo ever again. But it's hard too, because she comes from a closed herd that has been disease tested. And so I don't want to just go grab another cow and put with her and compromise the fact that I worked very hard to get a cow that was disease tested, that was clear, that came from a closed herd. And so I don't want to compromise that. And so I'm kind of in a little pickle that I think we're just going to have to work through day by day and see how it goes and see what's going to happen. And just kind of take that and just pray about that and see how it's supposed to go down. I kind of selfishly love the fact that I can have one-on-one time with her, and I am outside all the time. Like come summertime, I am in the garden. I am out in the backyard right beside her pasture, constantly doing different things. The chickens are running around, the ducks are running around, the dog is out there. So it's not truly like she's alone, but she is missing another cow. So we're just gonna play that day by day. You know, farming is compromise a lot. Nothing ever usually works out exactly how you want. And so you just kind of have to roll with the punches. And that's what we're going to do with her. We're just going to roll with the punches. We're going to see how she is. If she is super stressed and she is unhappy, then we will solve that somehow. and so we said, okay, this is the girl we want. And they told us a day to come down. And so we were able to schedule that. We don't have a trailer yet. And I feel like I know people with trailers, but I feel really bad asking someone. Like that's a huge thing, and if we were to wreck it or dent it or hit it on something, I would just feel really, really bad. So we ended up renting a tractor from the co-op, which is local here. They rent tractors for like, I think it was like $137 a night. And we dropped it off the night we picked her up. So we took it, we rented it the night before so we could leave at 5 a.m. that morning. We had the kids for the night at grandma and grandpa's house. They came over midday, did chores and everything. And so that allowed us to just get up in the morning at 5 o'clock, do the basics around the farm, jump in the truck, and then just head to Missouri. And it was supposed to be like storms all day long, but thank goodness, like they all kind of went around us. There was one section where we got some rain, but the drive there was beautiful. I love a good drive just to kind of see the world and just see areas around, Tennessee, cause we haven't got to travel a ton yet. So we went and saw them. Her farm is beautiful. It's so crazy because you see all these farms that are just like all the Angus and like the beef cattle. And then you just roll up this hilltop Jerseys. And there's just Jerseys all over the pasture. And they're just so beautiful. Jerseys are just the most, I think they're one of the prettiest cows there is. Like they are just gorgeous. And so it's so beautiful to see them and then to just pull up and be like, I'm here for my cow. I'm here for my years and years of praying and having this desire on my heart. These years of saying, I know it's not best, so we're going to put it off. These years of researching and looking at cows and using raw milk and just like preparing ourselves for this time where we could finally bring her home. And so she is out there. She is gorgeous. She is so sweet. I was just, you would know. The drive home, you guys, there's so much anxiety for me and Travis. You never realize how many potholes and how bad the roads are until you're taking this poor animal 5 hours on these like pothole riddled roads. And some of them weren't bad, but others I'm just like, oh my gosh, she's not going to be able to walk when we get back. Like it was so sad, but she was fine. And so I just been watching her really close. She's been eating, she's been drinking. I was able to go, my sweet neighbor, Amy. Oh, it's so good to have good neighbors, you guys. And my sweet neighbor, Amy, I called her and I was like, we don't have any hay for her tonight. We're supposed to pick up hay tomorrow. Could I snake some hay from you to feed her overnight, just something for her to munch on? And she was like, come on over. And so I was able to go and get some hay for her. And Travis went, she had a little water last night, but we bought her a bigger water trough. And so she's situated in, we purchased the big metal, like grain paneled fencing. We purchased 10 of them. So we basically made her like a corral that she is in right now. And then we're working on the 5-strand fence where we're fencing up about an acre for her right now. And then we'll make her secondary pen, which will be where the shed is. And then we'll make a third fence pasture as well. So she basically have two pastures with the connection of the her little mini barn, and we can shut off the mini barn on each side to be with pasture one or pasture two, or we can just shut her into the mini area with the shed when she goes to calve, or if she has an issue, if we need to catch her, all the different things. And so we're trying to be really, because we don't have any fencing and we started with nothing, we're trying to be really efficient in how best can we utilize the space and make things flow well so we can move her from pasture to pasture so that we don't have to, obviously we don't want her on hay a ton. I don't think it's good for her to be on hay a ton, and just financially it's better for us for her to be on grass. That gives us better butter, that gives us better milk. So that is our journey so far. That is, we have her now. We have sweet little Lilac. And she's just a doll. You guys can go see her on Instagram. If you're on YouTube, I'll throw in some pictures of her. So you guys can see her as well on here, and just like, just oogle over her with me and be like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty, because she is. And obviously I'm partial, but when I saw her, I just knew, I was like, that's her. That's the one I have been waiting for years. So I hope that that's an encouragement to any of you guys today. If you are in the waiting process for whatever, like, it does not obviously have to be a cow. This relates to anything. There is just so much to do in the waiting, and there is such great uses of your time, so that when you get the thing, you have gratitude and contentment, and you feel prepared and informed to be able to take on this new challenge, whatever it may be. So thank you, friends. Until next time.
If you found this episode inspiring or encouraging today, I would love for you to give it a 5-star review, send it to some friends who are in the homestead movement, and let's share this knowledge and learn together. Thanks so much, friends. We'll see you next time.